become the ocean, the book, the songs, the resolution, a trustworthy and valuable ontological guide to surviving the future and recovering the past significance of being human, with the promise of the universality of music as a cosmic medium, and metaharmonic language in order to reunite the people of the worlds. Fly over. A pre-book. Third wave. Dive into aimlessness. Part 10. The piano teacher. The third wave begins with a noisy void and an emotional nothingness and emptiness, a lonesome underwater awkward silence. The moment that we realize that we are floating in unorganized, mindless, unadulterated chaos, a counterintuitive moment of clarity arrives. Music will fill this void. The true function of the music form has been a part of this self the whole time. Music has never been disloyal. Music has never hurt feelings. Music is an emotional construction that expresses itself purely. The music is the one thing with which to fill the pre-time void and to bring about an artful order and provide a mindful eye to this chaos person, who is good at nothing except waiting patiently for his purpose, and I am him. With all of its metaphorical underpinnings, the ocean as music allows a cavernous mind space for us to explore. If we swim and explore for 30 years in this ocean, that is, a musical one of our own making, we find clues as to the form of the final message. It is a message screaming with resonance and beautiful order within the chaos. It is a message of balance. Find the art within a balanced mind, as well as the balance within the artful mind. The tidal wave is coming. The wave will crash the shore, no doubt. No matter how huge, the waters recoil and recede. Since this tidal wave took us away to the great city, we have visited our earthly purpose. We have also explored the idea and importance of seed forms and musical inception. If we can strike that chord between free verse, aimlessness, patience for emergence of seed, and intention, we will survive the third wave of chaos with a human song in our head and 1,000 more on the way. The survival makes us realize that the chaos is not the ocean. Music is. Music just is. Music. Just. Is. My first experience with the piano matches that with an introduction to God. It would be better illustrated with the dialogue I heard when we started to create the music. God and the music are discussing the absolute power cause of the personified song. Here is a story about a guy called Song. So it goes. Once upon a time on a piano, there was a song. That song wakes up one day and realizes he is alive and begins to ask questions about his tune. Song asks, "How did I get here?" God Creator replies, "I sang you into existence." Song asks, "Why?" God Creator replies, "Dumb. In the beginning, I used the word, well, four words to you. I says, let there be light. This is God, by the way. Then I made some kick-ass other stuff. It was I that created the all, and it was good. Yeah, I know, right? Me? God, the creator of the universe, felt feelings. Actual emotional feelings. To elicit such a complex verbal descriptor known as the good. Why else would they use the word good when writing the Bible, my main book, human? Song pushes on and says, I am a song though. Why me? Why did you make me? Song breaks down to tears. What good might I serve? His tears are blood. God Creator pauses his metaversal iPod and answers. My child, my song, you are exactly what you said you are. You are the song. You are the one that sings, heals sadness, and inspires even the mind of the transcriber as he is composing this very sentence right now. You, Mr. Song, were forged in a field of emotions, and sprouted billions of song children in a field of artful passion. Song replies in a language only some fully understand. The end. Song found his purpose. We all hope to in life. For me, that essential hope in purpose began to open channels that never closed. Once I was able to be in all of them at the same time, I started to get this sense that music was an answer. I could see that music was the answer. Music was a language. Music was freedom. Music was harmonizing. This is precisely why I have such a platonic and almost romantic relationship with the piano. Not a sexual one, dude. That would be weird, for real. It is larger than this, though. I am so incredibly close to the piano all of the time in my mind, that it has literally become me. I am unsure how to fully convey this piano connection to the reader without smearing my own tears onto the page. It is so deep, that even in complete silence, we can close our eyes, see the notes, chords, melodies, and beats. We can hear them, and sing them, all of them. We can write them, and arrange them, even more powerfully than seeing them. This is why it is most certain, for the end game of this ridiculously huge project, I must say something to the song. You are my greatest teacher, Mr. Song. You are. You just are. I still enter this music state and inhabit the sonic space. Creating music has been the paradigm informant as to the creation and cultivation of the ideas in Become the Ocean. It is the mission of the Become the Ocean project to begin planting this connection in children in a radically different way. Music is starting to seem a solution to a famine-drenched reality model. This is the ontology I'm talking about. I drift some more. Immersion in this notion results in tossing my mind to the wind. I drift around in the flow creator state to let go of all strings, all thoughts, yet somehow still follow unbreakable laws. Musical laws and standards are eerily similar to the laws of physics and laws of mathematics. Our friend Mr. Song is conceived in the ocean of all of these laws of physics, math, and music. They are forms. Hence the capital letters. Metaforms. They all combine to show the idea of the worth of a song. We improvise and create melodies from birth. We train our children to create melodies. It is worthy of note that I tried this when my son was born, and his superpower is melody creation in real time. He can truly speak melody as a language. Everyone can. So it isn't that special, relatively speaking, but it blows my mind either way. The piano can be our teacher, but we must play the piano. Music can be the medium all day long to fix the human mind, but if we don't play it, and play it right, we lose. We must create new music. Sing a new song to the universe. Sing to your creator a new song. A new song. When we improvise, we ask, and then we must command our awareness to drift, submit, and be owned for a minute. If only a minute on the time fabric. It's okay, bro. Just drift, man, on the piano keys, putting sounds of time into Misty Song. Just drift in the music, Jude's, like a piece of wood, weathered by the sands of time. Part 11. Drifting. This musical mind drifting begets mastery of a musical mind. Improvisation must be a human thought form and might just be how we improve our lives. Please take note of the relationship between these two forms. That is, improve and improvisation. It matters to our mind script. If my aim is in part to improve the human condition, the skills of quantum mindset and drift are essential for the monoculous mind. I deploy drift as a method to the ontological guidance mission. As we drift, we realize that more is said with less words. I'm out there, removing all sense and words. At this point, do we lose connection from symbol to meaning? Do semiotics take over? Semiotics is a philolinguistic term which is a dry definition. In this writing, we have hijacked the word and bent it a bit. When we actually become fully aware of the glue that adheres all of our notions of reality, we would pause, in sheer terror. We would not flee. There is a beautiful day in the human story, the day we wake up with the power to separate symbols from meanings, and signs from directions. Maybe it is something else. Maybe we should not be taught to read music. What if, perhaps, there were a way to experience the opposite of vision? If I experienced unsight, would I then see better? Unsight? This seems to be the pendulum applied to even our most basic perceptions. May we study antonym? By chance, if we study foreign language, are all of these words right now prisons in themselves? Language traps. And might we be losing capacity to express our mind, or perhaps gaining more capacities? What if that is the wrong question? What if it is both? When we lose, we win. It would be wise to mention our sphere hypothesis at this moment, although it may seem disconnected. It is discussed in the larger work, Become the Ocean. This is only the flyover. Without a belief in God, we are as sand without a sea, at least I am. I can. And I will refute Albert Einstein's theory on God. Am I not allowed? Isn't it my human right? Do you have this right? Yes, I think I do.
Yeah?
The science-faith divide is a false divide. Einstein's God letter is a philosophical Gettysburg bloodbath. Gettysburg didn't have to happen either. In the Become the Ocean mission, we do not wage war, but we wage a promise to do the opposite of conceive. This is not deceive. We will implant them by word time traveling as we erase, not fight, battles with farce and indoctrination. A D-Day in the mind is set up, complete with weapons as enduring and as cold as iron. Irony is colder. Now, we swim. The wave has forced me to consider the potential of universal languages. It has convinced me to never underestimate the aimless neutral power. Although I disagree with Albert Einstein in his theological declarations and certainties, one must admit something about the chap. Einstein was a fluent speaker of mathematics, astrophysics, and particle physics, among other incredibly complex symbolic thought abstractions. He was gravity to math and was a true master of the universal language of math as it applies to the physical world in which we exist. There are other universal languages to explore in the ocean deep that could lead to some Einsteinian resultant in the physical world, like, explosions and single quote stuff. As we move to wade in the illuminating waters of musical innovation, or improvisation, or free-floating, or swimming, or meditation, whatever. Although Einstein found an explosion with math, he believed in the power of music also, but just didn't have enough lifetimes to waterboard himself with music like he did math. Seriously? No. Seriously. In Albert Einstein's defense, one time he told me, I says, you know, Scott, if I were not a physicist, I would probably be a musician. I often think in music. I live my daydreams in music. I see my life in terms of music. This was Albert Einstein, Seer, 1900, Anno Domini. Part 12. Wading.
Yeah?
Einstein. As much as Einstein was a professor of novelty, or a prophet of the invisible world, he was a master of a universal language, or a couple. He was gravity to math, and was a true master of a universal language of mathematics as it applies to the physical world we interpret and construct. We encapsulate those interpretations into pillars called symbols, sounds, and words. Then we eat all of the mind pills to create our grand ontology. This is the dualistic nature of our mind worlds. They spin in perpetual entanglement and love resonance of a minor chord. We then, with these spinning duples, begin to truly perceive our reality as we inceive it, in real time. Inceive? Remember this one. We perceive our reality as we inceive it. Always. The humans, as wonderful as they are, can be restricted to forget that. Hence necessitates the mission of become the ocean. We perceive it. As we inceive it. Flag on the play. An expression used in human sports games in the year 2000, Anno Domini.
Yeah?
Ontological foul. Inceive? Really? Although inceive is an idea, there is no verb in my language called inceive. No, for reals. For the future record, currently in Webster's 2018 American English, we have conceive, perceive, deceive, but inceive just does not seem to exist. How can that be? Do we not have a word for everything? The action does, and the nouns do, inception, and the opposite verb of perceive, exists. This linguistic trap is real, and I have a skill set that might help. Read this paragraph again so the seed is there, because inceive is now a word we will use. Verbal language is used to render universal languages like math into thought forms and ideas. Then, they play out in the human life song. Like a pendulum, an electron, or an election, there is a dualistic nature to how they play out. Power a city, or vaporize 100. All of this energy from math and verbal, sitting in a tree. Also kissing in this swirling conceptual vortex fractal of metaphors, it is in this tree that you will find music and verbal language. Many refer to this partnership as songwriting, composing, or prosody. Others call it music and lyrics. Bars and spit. Sing it. In drifting, the means and aim is to align and fortify our improvisational artistic mind chops using musical drift, or 50,000 hours of musical melodic harmonical exploration. We must seek, and we must speak, this music fluently as a language. Not as a subject, nor as a PhD. With word wading, the means and aim is to align and fortify our language, our words. all of them. To operationalize this word-wading mindset, a true mastery of no less than two verbal languages is required. Surface's hypothesis, which will be introduced in the larger work, tells us to view 50,000 hours of musical, melodical, harmonical exploration. We must see language as a form, not as a subject, an object, or a word, but the word of words. Without language, there is no reality. Ontological guidance, that is, guiding and maintaining an actuality in a perfectly paradoxical reality show world, requires a return to the sacred sanctum known as trust in a word. If we wade long enough in two verbal languages, the limits of our reality will be stretched outward and the verbal language will be true to form. Verbal language, the further up and out we go, we arrive at more insight. Hopefully no one explodes. To get there, we must apply drift through the oceanic nature of verbal language and the families that exist in that ocean. We find ambiguities and inconsistencies here, and realize that there are a million infectious mind traps called words, and they are invisible. These linguistic traps are real. I'm no Einstein, but in my defense I didn't invent the formula for the weapon of weapons that would silence all of the music of a human life. Here is some wisdom from a seer called Wittgenstein. The limits of my language are the limits of my entire reality. This was Ludwig Wittgenstein, seer, 1900s Anno Domini. We arrive at some serious conclusions, and applying the pendulum to the subform of satire, we realize that idiocracy is a joke, but a serious issue. Satire is a human verbal language device making the opposite point to push back on bizarre reasoning pathways. Somehow, there is an ambiguity to everything now, and it lies deep underneath what I read and observe. We crashed. We planted. We broke. It rained hard on a tin roof mind. We built a trustworthy foundation for the reconstruction. We dove. We drifted while wading. We drowned, in tears, in rain. We played. We waited more. Now, even more patience is needed, yet everything is faster. Impatience breeds doubt as the patient embody the faithful. We are soaked, yet the water rises higher and higher. It becomes a linguistic baby pool, complete with pee. Also, occasional globs of snot. It's a word-wading game, filled with uncertainty and mystique. Be proud of these mysteries. We must run towards these complexities and abstractions, and not away. We cannot allow any more seeds of doubt and apathy into the human verbal language thought scripting system. Our transcension will depend on the safety and security of human mind as a sovereign trustworthy source. I realize that my experiences as a school teacher, although very limited, have informed and shaped this awareness. If we continue to launch apathy weapons at our seedlings, that is, the system, we are subjecting them to an anti-philosophical battery with no defenses. Case in point. In 2018, many think we are headed towards a more idiocratic world. There are even movies that are purely satire, that point out the downward slope of intelligence, or plain common sense. We must do more to steer this scary human intelligence to the surface. Are we getting dumber? It is a fair question. Education begins in the dirt, with the seed. Here is another thought experiment. What if we could see human lifetimes like a racetrack? Maybe the visual metaphor will allow us to explore the concept of drift. We get one life lap, one life day to race, so a fast and furious drift will be a natural result of taking corners hard, pushing the engine while it is ours, using up every drop of combustible fuel, and enriching our mind engine with our God-given super gifts. We are not racing towards smarter. Smarter is running by, and even the word smart itself is being redefined, and imperceptibly so. With the machine intelligence growing, still we are attempting to outsource intelligence and human mind grit potential to the machine. So it goes. We humans should never fail to at least attempt to do something or create something that is the opposite of idiocracy. The antidote is in the antonym. When time do I do that? When do I create the opposite of an idiotic, meaningless, pointless, mindless, senseless, lifeless, not work of a not art form? We can drift in the mindless art all we want on the racetrack of life, and we should. However, if we don't keep our collective power mind, or we choose to allow it to be taken from us without a fight, we will drift off into stupid. Why? Because race car. How? Because race car? Why come you say race car? Part 13. Because race car. Stupid and dumb. Shit and shitty shit. Shittier shit. Sorry. Where are my hoes at? No worries, scrotum puke. My ex's sister is tarded and now she is a pilot. Shit's real bad. Butts. Asses. Asses wiggling on screens. That is satire. Don't be silly. It's a little weird, though understandable to some degree. That is, these videos synchronized with music. Wiggling mind resonates faster than the light from the glowing, freedom-numbing, dummy-dumb flat screens. 100 and 120 hertz become 50-100 wiggles, and the ocean tidal wave starts to shake the world mind at a faster frequency. The loss of depth begins to rumble the foundations we worked so hard to build. Our soldiers died for it and didn't have to. Value of freedom with regard to art forms degrades. Music gets dumber for the mass of population. The mind-building company called public education contributes to the problem with poorly aligned execution of a philosophically flawed education. The young Skywalkers return to Earth, walking with no interest in the sky anymore, and then are led unknowingly back into Plato's stinky, mildew mold radiating, rotting shadow-filled fakeness cave. Which is then a space to use language as a weapon against all of them. The youth lies imprisoned even early in life, as even the toddlers want to stare at a surface and believe that they are staring. We believe that the ocean tidal wave will reveal that as there are allegedly three or four dimensions to this reality, there are several negative dimensions. This language hijack will lead to more anti-progress. The echoes of school sucks will reverberate louder and louder and louder as the years pass. As a result, those young could have been Skywalkers, just are not. They chase the opposite of learning. The pendulum hits hard and it hurts. The pendulum isn't good or bad. It just is. At the timestamp of this writing, the aforementioned Earthwalkers and the soon-to-be cave dwellers come to mind. Locals call them Millennials or Generation Z, which is weird. They seem to have a unique humor system, and it is indicative of the degrading of the art form value structure. In the more resource-rich American continent, a large majority of children believe that they are entertained by things that Skywalkers view only as pointless humor. Watch a video of a dude staring at a screen with a bottle of water for an hour and call it entertainment. That dude then becomes idolized with a million views, while a starving artist doesn't actually starve. Starvation is death, but even starve has been stolen and manipulated into the darkness. Then his child plays a developmentally regressive game that matches colors to colors, or shoots a ball at a seriously angry-faced red bird. Facilitated by the programmed configuration of plasmas and light waves on pixel screen coupled with the magnets that push out sound waves in alignment with the bird exploding. Then, a man electrocutes his balls, which somehow is immediately perceived as funny or shocking. Hold up. But it is not perception. Wrong word choice. It is idiocratic inception, manifest in a real society. Electrocute that which houses your future procreations, your sperm. Over and over and over. Fried brains. Eel. But it isn't funny or humor. Horror films and scary and ball electrocution isn't funny. These are artificial false art forms. They're shadows in the cave. Pointless shock and pointless violence. Violence with a point is more literal. Literally your face to a shotgun. In the larger scheme, before we can jump into the right river of humor and ocean of true art forms, we must highlight something. The word humor was stolen from birth and switched. Somehow during the pre-wave, the machine-human fusion mind resulted in the creation of this bizarre capacity for worshipping pointless humor, pointless violence, pointless television, and pointless video games, as well as other 2018 human collective cultural set pieces. Senseless and pointless. If it is true that language begets reality, then it seems that the inception of an idea that values pointless humor would create the idea that pointless has some particular point. Or worse, that pointless is the point. This meaninglessness, when combined with aimlessness, just creates blobs, and at that point, we have hit the inversion of reality as it pertains to a trustworthy ontology. Once all the words are stolen, the game isn't over. It just simply isn't. It isn't nothing. This is precisely why Become the Ocean is an ontological guide for the future of humanity. As our collective person races around the track of life, there must be a verifiable point to living. A clear purpose or meaning. If the meaning of life becomes planted in the subconscious in soil that is meaningless, then over a very short time, large swaths of humans will have no reason for reason, no point to point at, no names for their children, and no becauses for their whys. Why? Because race car, man. Because race car? In an ontological guide, it would seem silly to speak with such poor grammar. How? Because race car? Why come you say because race car? This is the pendulum of satire. But conquering that why is only half the battle. To demonstrate, here is an actual conversation with Earthling student in the Americas, as well as an Earthling Islander, both circa 2016, Anna Domini. So it goes. Me. Why do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Student 2014. Because Irish. Actual conversation with Earthling student. Me. Master Noah. If it looks like a duck and walks like one, what is it? Master Noah replies. Water chicken. Me. Hey, Noah. What is the meaning of life? Master Noah consoles. I like money though. Me.
What the what?
That makes no sense. Master Noah replies. Because race car.
Yeah.
Because race car. This was a seer called Noah Rosario, brilliant earthling satirist, Anno Domini 2016. Another seer in this era was called Dunning-Kruger in the field of psychology and philosophy. He hypothesized that this idiocratic society wave was coming. In order to study themselves, the humans had something called psychology to help describe cognition process and human behavior as it changes and evolves over time. This seer believed that there is a type of person that displays a clear cognitive bias in which people of low ability have illusory superiority and mistakenly assess their cognitive ability as greater than it is. Now, it appears that the cognitive balls of society are being electrocuted again. Hubris of these types of humans, paradoxically, becomes the catalyst for this downward intelligence trend. Statistically, these humans are the ones who tend to procreate early in life. The current mind view of the education system, and more so its approach to forced learning, creates weakness and failure points along the great wall of our own mind house. The system is destined for atrophy of mind, as it is designed. This system takes geniuses, proven by experiment, and creates students with an apathy for learning due to pendulum non-anticipation. Pendulum is one of the forms discussed in the larger work, Become the Ocean. If the non-use of human mind is of value to these would-be skywalkers, then we will wake up in a world without mind. Solution? Do hard stuff and enjoy it. To demonstrate, I tried to write this song in the English verbal language as a palindrome called Race Car. A palindrome is an artistic game with words, in which the word, such as race car, is a reflection of itself in the center of the sound and its visual transcription. I decided to write a song that is, by design, thought by thought, a palindrome, because it sounds difficult to do. Every line is spelled the same forwards and backwards. It took deep thinking, deep swimming, and trust in the ocean to carry us. If we run from the wave, we devolve. If we avoid the challenge, we atrophy. If we swim away from the gravity whirlpool, we accomplish nothing. We must allow the gravity to resonate the chords of the fourth dimension, hook us into the waters of personal infinity and human transcension. Spinning faster than the speed of light that is not poopy, we choose to jump up to the top of the wave. We spin on.